June 1st, 2010.
Last week we were learning the Gemara in Soitan, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, and Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara was discussing the story in Sefer Melachim about Elisha HaNovi. Elisha was a Talmud of Eliyahu HaNovi. After Eliyahu HaNovi went up to heaven in the fiery chariots, Elisha took over his position of Hanhoga. So the Gemara quoted the story from Sefer Melachim, from the Tanakh, the way he came to the city of Yericho, and the water was bitter. And he miraculously healed the water. And then he caused the people to lose their parnasa. Those people who used to sell water to the people in the city were upset. And then when they saw him walking by himself, if he would have been walking with a crowd of other people to baglate him, some of the young people wouldn't have started up with him. He wasn't walking with anybody else, so they started making fun of him, and they called him Baldy, Baldy. Alei kerech, alei kerech. So he got so upset about them, so he cursed them, B'shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael, and he said the bears should come out from the forest and they should eat them up. So the Gemara said the whole thing... Yeah. Chutz ben akereach hazeh. Yeah. Ben Azai says, Kol chachmei Yisrael afonei keklipas hashum. Nobody knows how to learn. They're just like onion skin. They're nothing with nothing. Chutz ben akereach hazeh, except for this bald guy. That was apparently Rabbi Akiva. That's how Rashi learns. That was Rabbi Akiva. Yeah. Yeah. So the Gemara says that it wasn't right on the part of Elisha that he cursed them, but Lamaisa he cursed them, and then 42 of the group died. So the Gemara is continuing to comment on that story from Sefer Melachim. It's about 15 lines from the top of Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. It says in the Torah Ora, on the side it says it's a Melachim base, chapter base. The people from the city of Yericho told Elisha, we enjoy living in the city. Yeah, it's a beautiful city. Everything is nice. Only two chesreinus. All the women who are pregnant are losing the babies. And the water is awful. We can't drink the water. So Gemara says, so what's so wonderful about living in the city? They tell him, you see that it's wonderful. The water was awful tasting. There it's mishakeles, and the women would lose their children, the babies would die. So what are they so happy about living in Yericho? And for the Gemara, that's the way people are. That's called chen. Chen means every husband thinks that his wife is the most beautiful, even if she's the most ugly woman in the world. And every person who lives in the city thinks that his city is a wonderful place to live in. There are murderers and there are muggings taking place and everything. Garnished people.
The main thing is middles.
Okay. That's another thing. Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's for sure. So the Gemara answers, Ela matay vasa, what's so wonderful about Yericho? Amar Avchanan, chen mokam al yoshvav. People, the city where you live, is nice chen. Chen means it doesn't necessarily correspond to reality. You're so used to it, so you like it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, there are three kinds of chen. Chen mokam al yoshva, people get used to living in a location so they like it. Chen ish al baila, and then chen mekach al lokho. A person just went shopping in the store and he picked something out, not such a gewaldige metzia, and the dress is not so pretty, but the woman spent so much time picking it, so she thinks that it's gewaldig. Chen mekach al lokho. Yeah. Tana Rabbana, the Gemara says, Elisha did wrong because he cursed the people who were making fun of him. Shlosha chalayim chala Elisha. He was sick three times in his life. Echod, one sickness was a punishment. Shegira dubim bitinoikos. It wasn't right. Echad, another time he got sick and he recovered because Shedachofa Gechazi B'Shtei Yadayim. Gechazi was his Shamas. Every Chassidish Rebbe has a Shamas. So Elisha had a Shamas who was named Gechazi. So the Pasuk tells the story that Elisha Novi healed Naaman, the general of Sarzva Melech Aram. He had the Negat Saras and he came to Eretz Yisrael. And Elisha did an S and he healed him. So he wanted to be Maka Teva. He wanted to give him Matana. So Elisha refused to accept anything. So Gehazi was the Shamas. So he realized this man is so wealthy, he'll give. So he ran, Gehazi ran after Naaman. And he said, my boss changed his mind. And then he asked him, do you swear to me? So he swore, yes, he changed his mind. Whatever you give me, I'll give back. So he gave him all kinds of matonas. And then the Gemara says that Elisha was so upset, the Psukim seem to say, Elisha was so upset, he cursed him and he said, you and your three sons should have the Negat Saras that Naaman suffered from. It was Dechofa L'Gechazi B'Shtei Adayim. He didn't let him do tshuva. And that wasn't right. That person does a terrible aver, you should try to be Mekarev him. Try to be Mekarev him.
That's how
the Gemara is going to say. Right. The echad, and the third sickness was not a punishment. That was the sickness shemesbo. Ben Hashemayim, everybody's supposed to die when it comes the right time. So he got sick and he died. It's not. If a person is healthy, and then all of a sudden he dies right away. The Gemara says amisa chatufa. So the Gemara said that's like a form of koris if a person dies suddenly. But if a person gets sick a couple of days and then he dies, that's Mises Kalorim, that's normal. So the third sickness that he had, his whole lifetime he was only sick three times. I was sick many more than three times. He was only sick three times. So the third time was not a punishment, that's a preparation to die. And the first two times, the sicknesses were punishments. How do you know that he got sick three times in his whole lifetime? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Elisha chola es cholyo, asher yomuz boy. So the Gemara understands chola means he had one machla, and he recovered. Eschol yatzveta machlan, he recovered. Those were punishments. And then Ashiyamazbo was the third machlan, and then he died. What?
Why?
No, that's Misas Koladim. That's normal. That's normal. Rather than to die suddenly, a Misa Chatufa, and the Gemara says in the end of Mait Kotten, that's a form of Kores. So he got sick 3 days. The Gemara says normal is to get sick for 3 days and then to die on the third day. Tana Rabbanan, this is the brisa that you say from Sanhedrin, from the Daf Yomi, the Yoylam, a person should always take small doch of him in Mikarebis. Should never push away a balavera completely. You should register your complaints. You should say you're doing wrong. You should give tochacha, you give musar, and stay away a little bit. But you should be Mikare everybody a little bit also. Look, Elisha should chofa l'gechazi b'shtei yodav. You shouldn't do like Elisha. He did wrong. That's why he was punished, chala eschalya, because he didn't give an opportunity to do tshuva. Well, look, Yeshua ben Prachya should chofa l'echad mitalmidav b'shtei yodav. Yeshua ben Prachya was the Rebbe of Yoshke. That's a shayla, Belecha Yoshke, Belecha Yoshke. The Nochrim, the Yoshke that they believe in, was born in the year zero, supposedly, no? And then he was killed by the rabbis, by the Sanhedrin, for being a Novi Yasheke, what age, in the 30s, 40s, something like that, yeah. Shayla, who killed him? Okay, shayla, who killed him? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that he was killed by the Sanhedrin because he was a Novi Asheker, a Mesis, Novi Asheker.
Huh? If it's the same one.
If it's the same one, yeah. So here, these Tanaim, they lived way before. Yeshua ben Prachya lived before. He didn't live in the last 30 years before the Churban HaBayis. So it's apparently it's a different Yoshke. Okay. More than one Yoshke. Kama Yoshke, Ike Bashuk. So the Gemara says, Elisha Maihi. Gemara says, what's the story with Elisha that you say he was the chofa l'gechazi b'shtei adayim? So the Gemara that tells, Tichsiv, it says in the pasuk, Vayama Naaman. Naaman was the general, Sarzva Melech Aram, who was healed from his taras, and he offered to give a matonah to Elisha out of Hakoras Atayv. Kachno kikraim. Please take two chunks of gold. And Elisha Navi says, I make a parnasa, thank you very much. My parnasa is min hashamayim. He doesn't need anything. And then, fast forward, moving ahead, and then the pasuk says that Gehazi heard that he was turning away, he was refusing the gift, and then Naaman left back to go back to Aram, And then Gehazi chased after him, and then he told him, he swore that my boss changed his mind, he'll accept him, and he swore, and then he gave it to him. So then Echsiv, Ayom Re'elav, so then Elisha said, where were you? I haven't seen you the last couple of hours. So he says, garnished, he was during Zacharum. So he said, what do you mean during Zacharum? I know what happened. You went to Naaman, and you accepted the gifts from him. It's not true that you were just during Zacharum. You went to meet Naaman. Is now the time? Ha'es lakachas is now the proper time to take kesef lakachas begodim v'zeisim echromim v'tzon abok v'avodim u'shvachas. Is it proper that you took all of these matonas? So the Gemara asked that question. You look in the psukim in Navi. It doesn't say that Naaman offered all these things. He only gave two things. Mishakel kuli hai. He didn't take. Here it says eight things for oizgerechen. Kesef, begodim, zeisim, kromim, zon, abokav, avodim, ushvachas. Eight different things. But in the psukim it doesn't say that he took that. He didn't offer him that. Mishakel kuli hai. Kesef, begodim, hudushakel. In the psukim it only says that he gave kesef, silver, chunks of silver, and clothing. And for the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the answer is, he took eight things. Why? That's there are 24 prokim in Masechah Shabbos, and one perik is Shmoneh Shvatzim. I don't know if it means he was learning perik Shmoneh Shvatzim. Rashi says, perik Shmoneh Shvatzim in Masechah Shabbos. I don't know, it means he was learning that perik in Masechah Shabbos. Perik Shmoneh Shvatzim happens to talk about, the bulk of the perik talks about the Issa de Rabbanon, of refuah b'Shabbos, that you're not allowed to apply medications, you're not allowed to swallow a pill on Shabbos unless you're a little bit sick, then it's mutter. But healthy people with a little mechesh b'yama are not allowed to take any medication. So that's what he means. He was learning perik shmoneh shvatzim. Oh, he was learning the din of shmoneh shvatzim. The din is that if a behemah dies, if you shech the behemah, a cow, so the shechita is mitar m'dein avela. If the cow dies a natural death, so then it has, not only it's a nevela, it's also machila, it's a nevela, it has tumas nevela. It's metame b'magam masa. An elephant or a horse, a behemoth tamei, even if he shecht it, the shechita is not chal, so once it's dead, it's going to be metame. It's going to have tumas nevela. So that's my behemoth v'chai. What's the din by oifus? So oifus, the din is that if it's an oif tamei and it dies, there's no tumah whatsoever. If it's an oif tohor, a chicken, the chickens in the A&P are also bachila, it's an isa nevela, and has also tumah, but the tumah is only, it's metame abes ablia. If the person swallows it, so when he swallows a kazayis of nivla saif tome, is metame abes ablia. If he touches it, there's no tumas maga, there's no tumas masa, it's only metame when you swallow. And then there's another din in the parsha, there are eight rodents, that when they're dead, they're metame. Shmoneh shvatzim amurim b'Torah, Amitamim b'moisam. So he was learning that, I don't know if it means perik shmoneh shvatzim. What does that have to do? He was learning that parsha in the Torah, the dinim of shmoneh shvatzim, the shmoneh shvatzim amitamim b'moisam. So Elisha said he wants Gehazi to get rewarded by olam hazeh, so he'll lose all of his chai by olam haba. So since he learned with him the dinim of shmoneh shvatzim, so he, Elisha Novi wanted the Ruach HaKodesh, he accomplished that Gehazi should be rewarded by taking eight gifts. Naaman, the Sartzva Melech Aram, only offered him two. So somehow Elisha finagled that he should get eight gifts. He should get his schar b'olam hazeh for learning all the dinim of the Shmoneh Shvatzim. And b'olam haba, he won't get any schar for any of the Torah that he learned. But also, Shohoi Elisha Isik b'Shmoneh Shvatzim, he was learning those halachas, Omalo, Rosha. So he told Gehazi, he gia eis litol schar Shmoneh Shvatzim. You're going to get your reward by olam hazeh, and you lose by olam haba. And then another punishment was v'tzaras naman tivkuk v'cho u'bizaracho li'olam. You and your children and your descendants will always have an egat tzaras. Then the Gemara has a tradition. The parsha says in Sefer Melachim that Shomron was a city that was built during the days of the Melachim. It didn't exist in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. There is a halacha that Ayaras HaMekav HaZchaimim and Moshe Yeshua ben Nun have a special status. So Shomron did not have that status min HaTorah. It was built way after the days of Yeshua ben Nun. But nonetheless, the psukim say that the people had a minig, they treated it as if it had the status of Kedushas Ayaras HaMekav HaZchaimim. So one of the dinim is that a metzora is not permitted to enter not to, permitted to enter Yerushalayim, not permitted to enter any of the Ayaras HaMakafis Chaim.
I don't understand. He did get punished for Elamazel. He became Mitzaraz.
Yeah. No, he's going to get reward for the Torah that he did Averis and he did mitzvahs.
He became Sarah. He became Sarah.
Okay.
That's not a reward.
No. He was rewarded that he got all the gifts. So the eight gifts that he got for his... I mean, the punishment was much greater than the reward. Okay, the punishment he made a Chil Hashem, so he deserved a big punishment. At least he wanted to make a Kiddush Hashem to heal the Neged Saras and not to take a penny. And he made a Chil Hashem out of the Kiddush Hashem. He swears to Naaman that Elisha changed his mind. The whole thing was Shekel v'Chazov. So the pasuk says, "V'abo anoshem harim mitzrayim pesach shar shomron." There were four men who were mitzrayim, and they were sitting outside of the city Shomron. They didn't enter the city because they treated Shomron mitam minig as a chumre, as if it had been a near hamakef es chaim ma'aser shur benun. The pesukim say in Parshas Nasai, so the word machne appears three times. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara and Psochim, Rashi and Chumash quotes. It says three times machne, and it says three tameim. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that the first machne is machne shchina. That's the Azorah. The second machna is machna leviyah, that's the whole Harabais, has the status of machna leviyah. And the third machna is Yerushalayim, that corresponds to machna Yisrael. In the Midbar, the Klal Yisrael were all together, Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil, they were traveling in the formation of a square. So the whole machna Yisrael had the status of, like Yerushalayim, they were all permitted to eat kachim kalim in the whole area of the machna. If they would bring a carbon, they wouldn't be allowed to eat it chutz la machna. They had to eat it davke, toicha machna. So the whole Yerushalayim had a kedusha parallel to the Machne Yisrael in the Midbar. The Harabayis in Yerushalayim had the kedusha parallel to the kedusha of Machne Leviyah. And the Azara had the same status as the Azara in the Midbar. So the Gemara says that the Tomei Lo Nofesh is the lightest form of Tumah. He's Mekabel Tumah from a mace. So he touched a sheretz, he touched a mace, he touched someone else who is a Tomei. So if you Mekabel Tumah from another person, that's Tumas Mago. That's the lowest level of Tumah. So he's only Mishtaleach. One who has a Tumas Mag is only Mishtaleach Chutz Le Machne Shechina. He's not let enter the Azor. He's permitted to enter Ezras Noshim. He's permitted to enter the rest of the Harabais. And then one who is a Zav, one who has a Tumah Yotzal Migufoy, is not only also to enter into the Azor, he's not allowed to enter into the whole Harabais. And then one is a Mitzayra, is Mishtaleach Chutz Le Yerushalayim, Chutz to all the Sholosh Machnas. Miriam, she wasn't allowed to remain in the Machna. So the minig was in the days of the Tanakh that they treated the city Shomron as if it had the status of Kedushas Hayoros HaMakof Eschem. And then the pasuk continues to tell the story that the whole city was under siege and the people ran out of food and the Abba Mitzrayim ran out of food. And then they were afraid they were going to die. They had no more nothing to eat, nothing to drink. So they figured the whole city was still under siege by the enemy, so they figured they'll surrender to the enemy. If we'll survive, we'll survive. And as Nishta, they'll kill us. What can we do? We're going to stay here. We're going to die in and out a couple of days. If we'll surrender to the enemy, we may be able to extend our life. They'll take us prisoners of war, and they'll give us food. They'll let us live for more than the next couple of days, or they may kill us earlier. So the Gemara learns out from that parasha that that's the halacha. If a person, let's say, has a medical condition, and you can do a medical procedure which may extend his life significantly, more than 12 months, or he may die on the operation table, he may die earlier. So we learn out from this pasuk that it's permissible to take that risk. It's up to the chayla to decide if he wants to take the risk. So that's this parsha. So these are bo'an oshim, amarab yechaza gecheze yishloshes bonav. These were the mitzvah. Then the pasuk says, "Vayovay." It says, "Vayelacha, Vayovay." Pasuk says in Malachim, there was a certain time. Elach Elisha, Damasek. Elisha traveled to the city Damasek. What was he doing in Damasek? Why did he leave Eretz Yisrael? Why did he go to Damasek? Lo mahalach. Why did he go there? Amar Rabbi Yechon, "Shalach lachzir legecha zibetshuve." He felt bad that why he was Imarach Gechaz, he cursed them and everything. So he tried to back out. V'loi chazar. And Gechazi wouldn't do tshuva. Amalo chazar b'chad do tshuva. Amalo nein kach mikum lani mimcho. I have a tradition from you. You taught us. Kol mishichot v'hechti yasarabim. If you cause others to sin, they must speak in yod alasas tshuva. So he was a chot v'hechti yasarabim. What? Apparently he made such a chil Hashem. So the people all lost their respect for Elisha HaNavi. He was made cheap in their eyes. He's a bal moifus, but he takes money. For all the mafsim that he does, the bigger the moifus is, the more money he takes. So they lost their respect for the rabbanim. They lost their respect for the neviim. So that's called chot of a hechti as a rabbin. He must speak in the other lasses tshuva. Freg the gemara. Oh, then the gemara says, my yavad, what avera did he do? What was hechti as a rabbin? What did he do? So the gemara says he did more than that. Not only the chil Hashem. Ikad the Yamri, one version has it, Evan Shavis Tarla Lachatas Yerovam. Yerovam made Avodah Zarah in different locations in Eretz Yisrael. So from metal. So this Gechazi had shtick. So he wanted to show that the Getchka that Yerovam made is a real deity. So he, using magnets, he arranged the magnets in such a way that the metal should be suspended in midair. Yeah. Normally things have to sit on a table or sit on the floor. And if you use magnets, you can succeed in having things suspend in midair. So the people started to believe that's a real deity. Really has powers of a deity. So that was Chot of Hechti Yisrael. Made him the Hamido, and he had the Avodah Zarah suspended Ben HaShamayim Loretz. That's one version. Ikadam, another version has it. Shem Chokok Lo Apuma. He engraved Shem Hashem on the mouth of the, what did he make? Egle Hazov. He made golden Egle Hazov, Yerov Menava, two Egle Hazov, and he, by engraving Shem Hashem, he accomplished that the Egle Hazov, the two Egle Hazov of that Yerov made, to encourage everyone to worship of the Zarah, the Egle Hazov is proclaiming, so this got the people to worship of the Zarah. They thought, hey, this is the real McCoy.
What's Apuma?
Apuma, on the mouth of the Egle Hazov, of the Egle, on its mouth. Apuma, apeshalo. The Ikad the Amri, in the third version, has it that when he was the shamus of Elisha, he used to push away a lot of Talmid Chachamim. A lot of Talmid Chachamim came to learn by Elisha, so Gechazi used to push them away. The Ikad the Amri, Rabbana Dachem Ikameh, he pushed away Talmid Chacham. Where did he get this idea from? That's based on the Pasuk. Dichsiv, after Elisha Anabi curses Gechazi and he leaves, so then the next parsha in Tanakh, here, Perek Vav, the story was in Perekei. Melachim Beis Perekei is the story, Kachno Kikraim, and so on, the whole story. Then in Perek Vav it says, Vayom Rabbenei HaNavim El Elisha, Hinina HaMokam Shanach Neyoshin Shem Lefanecho, Tzar, is very narrow. There's not enough room in the Beis Medrash for all of the Bnei HaNavim, for all the Talmid HaChachamim, who are learning Torah and practicing to become Nevi'im. So why all of a sudden in Perek Vav? What happened? How come until then no one ever complained that the Mokam is Tsar? All of a sudden Perek Vav in Malachim Beis, the Mokam is Tsar. The answer is Mechlal. The inference is the Ad Huidna, until that time, until they kicked out Gechazi, until they were Doche Gechazi from the scene, Lahavidochik, it wasn't so crowded because Gechazi wouldn't let them in. Gechazi told them to go fly kite. They shouldn't. He used to chase them away. Now Moshe Feinstein for 10 years had two Gaboim. Yeah, two Talmidim, Felder and Bluth. So a lot of times they would protect Rav Moshe by keeping away all the Nudniks. So all the Rabbanim who were kicked out used to refer to them as Gechazi, because they wanted to protect Rav Moshe. So they used to refer to them as Gechazi, because he kicked out the Rabbanim. Then the Gemara says the story. What's the story about Rabbi Shub ben Prachya? Feg Moshe ben Prachya Mahi, what's the story? Kar halikotil Yanai Malko, Yanai Hamelech was a Meshuganin. He's very religious, but he was crazy. So there was a period of time, the Gemara tells in Sanhedrin, the second Berak, he got angry at all the Rabbanim, and he killed out all the Rabbanim except to his own brother-in-law. Yanai Hamelech is married to Shlomtzion Hamalka, and her brother was Shimon Hasheta. So the Gemara says, Kar halikotil Yanai Malko le Rabbanon, when he killed all the rabbis, all the Tanoim, Shimon ben Shetach, Atminu Achse, his sister, who was the queen, hid him out. She knew where he was. She wasn't going to tell the husband because the husband would have killed him. Rabbi Shob ben Prachya also survived, so he ran away. He was not related to Shlomtzion HaMalka, and she wasn't interested in sticking a neck out for Rabbi Shimon Prachas. He ran away. Ozol Orak Laksandria Shal Mitzrayim. He ran away to Egypt, to Alexandria. Ki Havi Shlomo, when things calmed down, and it was safe to come back to Eretz Yisrael, so Shimon Ben Shetach was in Yerushalayim. Shalach L'Shimon Ben Shetach, he sent a letter to Rabbi Shua Ben Prachya. Mini Yerushalayim, Ira Kodesh. This letter is sent from the holy city Yerushalayim. Loch Alexander Shal Mishraim Achosi. Yerushalayim is sending a letter to the twin sister city, Alexandria. Baili Shari B'Techech. My husband is over there, and I'd like my husband to come back home. It was in Kodva. Ani Yoshev Shameima. Yerushalayim is missing a husband. Yerushalayim wants the husband back. What does that mean? Omar, so Reb Shua Ben Prachya read the letter, and he understood what it means is, he didn't want to, I don't know why, he didn't want to write openly what he meant. He sent it in code. Omar said, Reb Shua Ben Prachya understood, Shmamina, Havali Shlama. Apparently it's peaceful. The coast is clear, and if I come back to Yerushalayim, Yana is not going to try to kill me. So on his way back, he was traveling, and he stopped off at an inn on the way. He also, on his way back, when he came back, Ikla Lahu Ishpiza, he stopped off at an inn. Kom Kamayu Bi Yikora Shaper Avdala Yikora Tuva. There was a Balabasta who was Mechabit very much this Yeshua Ben Prachya with the other Rabbanim. So he was praising her. Yosef Ikomish Tabeach, he was commenting, Kamanoach San Yezu. What a fine woman that she's Machnes Orchim, she is so Mechabit Tamir Chachamim. So one of the Talmidim of Yeshua Ben Prachya, Rebbe, you're praising the woman. She's such a wonderful tzaddikus, but she's ugly looking. Her eyes have a strange shape. That's what he tells him. Rebbe, Einel Trutos. Her eyes are in an awful shape. Amale Russia. So the Rebbe tells the Talmud, you're a terrible person. Bekachata Isaac. What are you looking at the woman? The woman is an Eshes Ish, but you're a married person. Why are you looking at the woman to the extent that you see that her eyes are a little funny? Apik Arba Meir Shipure, he took out 400 shofars, Bishamte. In the days of the Gemara, they would put someone in Cherem, so he used to blow shofar. So they put him in Cherem. So the Talmud felt awful. So every day he would come to the Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Ben Prachya, and he would plead with him, tell me what I have to do to be Chozer B'Tshuva, you should accept me back, I should be able to learn in the yeshiva. Kol Yoyma Osir L'Kamei V'Lo Kabli. Every day he came back to the Rebbe to ask forgiveness, and he should accept them back, and he wouldn't accept. Yom Echad, one fine day, Habikokori Kriyashma, the Rebbe was saying Kriyashma. Basa Lekamei, the Talmud came, Habibidaita Lekabuli. So the Rebbe had in mind, okay, today I'm going to accept him. As soon as I finish saying Kriyashma, I'll tell him how to be Chozer B'Tshuva, what he has to do. Achvilei Biyode, so he made a signal with his hand. Rosh Hashanah Prach made a signal. He meant, wait around for 2 minutes after finish reciting Kriyashma. Abasava. But the Talmud Agimein, Mitchadochila, he thought that he's sending him away, he's kicking him out. Vaita, every day I come and the Rebbe is never accepting me, then he gives me a machabek, I should go fly a kite. Ozol, so the Gemara says, Ozol, he went Zokaf Levento, he put up a brick, he erected a brick, polcha, and he bowed down to the brick. He worshipped the Avodizor, just made an Avodizor. Omalei, so the Rebbe, after the Rebbe finally finished saying Kriyashma, he chased after him and he found that he worshipped David. He said, Amalei Chazar Becho, do tshuva. I'll take you back in the yeshiva. Do tshuva. Amalei, kach mekumplani mimcha. I have a tradition from you. You said the same as Gehazi. He told Elisha Navi. That's what this fellow Yoshke told Reb Shua Ben Prachya. Kach mekumplani mimcha. Kol achote mechtes rab. Meim haspikim yodol asas tshuva. What did he do? Chote mechtes rab. The Oma Mar, because we have a tradition that this fellow, this Yoshkala, this Talmud of Reb Shua Ben Prachya, Kishev, he violated Kishuv, the Hesis, the Hidiach, he coaxed many people to worship Avodah Zarah. A Mesis and a Mediach is basically the same thing. A Mesis is Liyachid, Mediach is Lerabim. It's a different Einish Misa. The slightly different dinim between the two. Huh? Yeah, here in Idachas, you have Mediach and Idachas because Mediach is Harabim. That's the question. How many people do you have to have that it should be a Rabim? You don't have to have Dafka, a whole city. The Minchas Chinuch has a machlokes with the Mishnas Chachamim. He quotes a chibra on the Rambam called Mishnas Chachamim. Whether you have to be mesis, you have to try to coax 10 people or 3 people. How much is called a rabbi? The Gemara has a din. Neder, we learned in a gittin. Neder shuhuda barabim and neder shuhuda al das rabim. So there's one opinion, a neder that you pronounce, that you proclaim in public. Ein lo hafor ve ein lo hator. We don't paskin like that, but there's one opinion in the Gemara. So the Gemara has a machlekes amaraim. What's the definition of rabim? Rabim is 10 or rabim is 3? So that's a shaila. How should we paskin over there? So that's the difference between meisis and midich. The dinim are slightly different, but in definition, the meisis is as a yochid, as a yechidim, and midich as a rabbi. So the Gemara says that this yoshke, this Talmud of Shimon Prachya did kishuv, and he was first meisis yechidim, then he was midich as a rabbim. The hechdi as Yisrael, it caused a lot of Jews to violate avodah zarah. So that's why, since he was a chotei amachti, so he felt that it's not shaykh that he should be able to do tshuva. So the Gemara says, the upshot of the story is that we shouldn't act like Elisha, to be merachik someone completely. You shouldn't act like Rabbi Shuvah and Prachya. If a person is a sinner, you have to be mistalik from him, but you have to let him know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has yoda pshuta lekabel shavim. The Rabbi Shalom will accept the person who does tshuva even after doing so many averis. Rav Kook, usually, men hashamayim, they'll give a person an opportunity to do tshuva. So this person, chayte v'hechti, they won't, they won't offer him an option. But if he on his own will be mechazik himself and do tshuva, the tshuva will be accepted to some extent or another. Men hashamayim, they won't bend over backwards to be kind to him. But if he does tshuva, the tshuva will be accepted. Rav Kook was always accused of being an apikoyrus. So no one knows exactly. What's it they get zucked? What's it they get done? What did he say? What did he do that they called him an apikoyrus? No one knows, a deep dark secret. So Rav Neiria, who was a prominent Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, had a son whom he named after Rav Kook. When he came as a teenager from Russia to Eretz Yisrael, so he learned in America as a Rav Kook. He learned by Rav Kook. So one of his children was named Avram Yitzchok. So that son Nebuch died during the lifetime of the father, had a brain tumor. Came to New York, then they gave him surgery, then he went back there, so then the brain tumor came back again, then he died, he left up his 5 young children. It was a whole tragedy. So that son, Avram Yitzchok, was always asking people that they should tell him stories about Rav Kook. He wanted to know more because he was named after him. He wanted to know more about Rav Kook. So Rav Moshe Tzvi Neiria, the father, printed 7 or 8 svarim about Rav Kook, all beautiful svarim about biography and about his Midas Chasidus, and his Chidush HaTorah and his Hanhagos, very fascinating. So in one of the svarim, he quotes that my son told me that he always asked everyone, tell me some more stories, and he finally found out, what did Rav Kook say? Why do they call him an apikoyrus? So I think it was, I forgot already, which of the Talmidim of Rav Kook is the one, the one who used to go to the prisons? What was his name? I think Rabbi Levine told him this story. I think so. He says Rabbi Levine told him this story that no one ever heard from anybody else. Rabbi Levine said he once heard from Rav Kook that when he was a bocha learning in Volozhin, so he was very mekuriv to the Nitziv. At the same time, the Nitziv and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik were both tang shiurim. The shiurim was so different from each other. The Nitziv would give a shiur, I think, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik gave the shiur Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos was Chazor. And each one gave like a blat gemara. They covered a whole blat gemara in a shiur. Gave a shiur for an hour. And they ran through a whole blat gemara. And they were very different styles of learning. So Rav Kook learned, he loved very much the style of the Nitziv. That was the classical style. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was the new Derech HaLimud. So a lot of the students only went to Rav Chaim's shiur. A lot of the students only went to Nitziv's shiur. And there were many students who went to both. Even though they were so different, they went to both shiur. So Rav Kook was very mekuriv to the Nitziv. He was the only bocher in the yeshiva that the Nitziv permitted to wear tefillin all day long. Rav Chaim was upset why he allowed him here. Rav Chaim never liked him, and he never cared for Rav Chaim too much. It was mutual. So Rav Kook once noticed that one of the boys in the yeshiva was acting like a shegetz. He was an apikurs. He was saying apikurs to shadeyas. And he wasn't keeping mitzvah. He mased to the Nitziv that the kid is an apikoyrus, they should kick him out of the yeshiva. So the Nitziv believed him, and they kicked him out of the yeshiva. So then a month later, Rav Kook had charata. Why did I tell him to kick him out of the yeshiva? I should have told him he should work with him. we should get all the Bochum to talk to him, to try to be Makar of him. So he said later in life, when they always were accusing him of being an Apikoris, Rav Kook himself attributed it to the fact that he said correctly, and not Tom, it was true, that the other kid was an Apikoris, but he shouldn't have been Doche him Mishtei Adayim. He should have told the Netziv, they should, whatever he would have said, the Netziv would have believed him. So he should have said, he's an Apikoris, we should be Makar of him, instead of giving the recommendation to kick him out. That's this Gemara. That's what the Gemara, the Gedolim used to say, Rav Soloveitchik, and other Rabbanim used to say, if Rachmana Letzlan, one of the members of the family, decides to marry a non-Jewish spouse, so all the members of the family should boycott him. They should let him know that life doesn't continue as usual. We can't associate with him. But one member of the family, one religious member of the family has to retain contact, so he should know that if he'll be chozer b'tshuva, we'll accept him back again. A Frumen member of the family should retain contact. And very often that's what happens anyway, because when you have a mixed as it is, there's so many people getting divorced, even if they're from the same background. So Kal v'chaimer, if one is Jewish, one is not Jewish, there's a higher percentage, higher chance that they're going to get divorced. So the question is, if and when they get divorced, will they think that they'll be accepted back in the family? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik and other Rabbanim in America, when they saw what was going on with the intermarried, so they said, all the members of the family should boycott the intermarried couple, but one of the Frumen members of the family, one of the more observant members, should maintain contact. So that's what the Gemara sums it up. Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, you shouldn't always wage war, a frontal attack against the Yetzer Hara. It should be small doichav min mekarevus. The Yetzer Hara wants you to watch movies and wants you to go touring and wants you to waste a lot of time. So if you're going to make a whole milchama, no, I'm going to sit and learn all day long and all night and I'm going to do terim, so I'm never going to do any dvar b'telim. So you're not going to win the war. He says you have to be small doichav min mekarevus. You have to give in a little bit to the Yetzer Hara. Not to give in to the Yetzer Hara to do averus. Give in to the Yetzer Hara to relax a little bit in life. Tinoik, with little children. Baby, little babies like to play. So you're going to tell a baby, I have no time to play, I have to learn Torah, I have to go to yeshiva, you play. You have to give in a little bit to the little baby, to your little children. You have to waste a little time with the children. And the same thing, Isha, if a person is married, so you can't tell his wife, I have no time for you, I have to go sit and learn, I have to go daven. You have to waste a little time with your wife also. It has to be small derchavim in mikarevis. Okay, this was all the agaritis, but we were sidetracked over here. This perek is, the name of the perek is Egla Rufo. Okay. The reason, what is this perek doing over here? Because we had on Daf Lamed, the Mishnah listed off various mitzvahs. Where was it? Daf Lamed Beis. Mishnah listed off various mitzvahs of Amira, of Dibur. Some of them can only be fulfilled in the original Hebrew, and some of them can be fulfilled in translation. So Kriya Shema Zamachlekes Atanoim. We Paskin Kriya Shema can be recited in translation. And Egla Rufo, when they say Kapon Alamcha Sosha Padisa Hashem, when they recite the Psukim, so that has to be recited in the original Hebrew. So the Mishnah, they have no other place to go through the details, so they go through all the dinim of Egla Rufo. So now the Mishnah has a discussion. The din is that Egla Rufo is Osa Bahano. How do you know an Egla Rufo is Osa Bahano? Because the Kohanim recite the Pasuk. After they do the Arifa Segle, after they chop off the neck, so they recite the Pasuk, Kapali Amcha Yisola Shepadisa Hashem. Val Titen Dam Noki Dikar Bech. We had that was on the top line on Mem Vov Amid Aleph. That Pasuk, there's a Pasuk in the end of Parsha Shoftim. The last section of Parsha Shoftim has a din of Egla Rufo. So just like by Karbonis, it says, when you bring Karbonis, you get Kapare, and Karbonis are Rasa Bano. So the Gemara says, Kapare Ksiv Baki Kochim. Since when you bring an Egla Rufo, you say Kapali Amcha Yisol Shepadis Hashem, so Kapar Ksibah Kikachim, that's how you know that Egla Rufo is Osa Bahano. When does it become Osa Bahano? So that's a big machleik of Satanoim. Rashi refers a little bit to the machleik. Rashi tells you to look in the last perek increases, Daf Chafei Amar Aleph. Increases, the Gemara has a machleik of Satanoim. One opinion is Arifasa Israsa. After you do the Arifa, then it becomes Asamano. Before you do the Arifa, it's Mutabano. The other Tana says, no. Yiridasa l'nachaleisan Israsa. When you take it down to the Nachaleisan, that's the beginning of the ceremony, the beginning of the Kiyama Mitzvah of Arifa Segla Rufas. So here, the Mishnah deals with an issue. Nimtza ha-horik, the Pasuk says you only have to bring an egla rufa if you find a Jewish person murdered in Eretz Yisrael. Lo noda mihiko, you don't know who killed him. What happens if we find a person murdered, and then we measure to the cities, and we establish which city has to bring an egla rufa, and then the police catch the man? They identify based on DNA, based on the hair, based on whatever, based on the saliva. They identify who the murderer is. Shein fartik, so there's no mitzvah to bring egla rufa. Once it's no dami hiko, if they ascertain, so there's no mitzvah of egla rufa. So what's the din? They measure to the cities, and the police are making their FBI, they're making their investigation. They measure to the cities, and they establish that this city is the closest. They have to bring egla rufa. They took the egla rufa, and they took it down to Nachal Eson, and all of a sudden, they call on the cell phone, we found the murderer. So you don't proceed. You don't have to do, what should you kill the egla rufa for? It's no da mihiko. So the shah is, what about the egla? Harido is the egla la nachaleisa. They took it down already. It just, nimtza ha-horeg, the police discover who the murderer is, moments before they do the arifa. Achalai nerfo ha-egla. If they discover who the murderer is before arifa sa-egla, the din is, you can take the egla and mix it in with the rest of the herd. It's mutabano, no problem. Teitze v'tira be'eder. Let this egla graze in the field together with the rest of the flock. It's mutabano. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Krisis that it should really depend on that machlokes hatanaim. If you hold arifosa or isrosa, only the arifa, only when you chop off the neck, that's when it becomes asmano. So here, they stop the procedure before they chopped off the necks. It'll be mutabano. But the Rambam paskins yiridosa lenachaleisan isrosa. When you take it down to nachaleisan, then it becomes asmano. So the Gemara says increases if yiridosa isrosa. If it's nesa mechayim, then it's already nesa shengivaren asabano. So just because they found the murderer, it's not going to become mutabano. That's what the Gemara says increases. The Rambam paskins not so. There's a stir in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, "Yiridosa l'nachaleisan isrosa." When you take it down to the nachaleisan before you did the arifa, it already becomes asabahnor. And the Rambam still quotes this din in the Mishnah. You have the tiny letter aleph on the first line of the Mishnah. Gives you the cross reference to the Rambam. He has all the dinim of egla ruf and hilchas retzeach. So he quotes the Mishnah. Nimtza horeg. After you read the nachaleisan, they find the murderer minutes before they're about to do the arifa. So it becomes mutabano. So it's a
pesach. This Mishnah doesn't delineate between Yerida, and it doesn't mention, it just mentions the arifa, the breaking of the neck.
Right.
How does the Rambam, basically is cholak on this Mishnah?
Not cholak on, no, the Rambam quotes the din in the Mishnah. If they discover the murderer minutes before they chop off the neck, so the egla rufa is muta. So the Gemara increases, says that it only makes, the Mishnah is the Mishnah. The Mishnah only makes sense if you hold arifasa israsa. It doesn't become asabana until you chop off the neck. So they found the murderer before, so they didn't do the arifa, which is going to cause it to be asa. But the Gemara says, if the din would have been yiridosa la nachaleisa israsa, then even though they stopped in the middle, they didn't proceed to continue to do the arifa, it'll remain asabana. It already became asabana. So the problem is the Rambam says not so. The Rambam says yiridosa israsa, taking it down to nachaleisa. And nonetheless, if they find the murderer before they do the arifa, becomes mutabano. How does it become mutabano? No, no. Let it graze means it's going to get mixed in with the other. You can't tell one behemoth from the other behemoth. Tetz of etir be'eda, they all look the same. So you're allowed to mix it into the flock, and it's mutabano. So that's the pella. So the mefarshim eskan on the Rama. So the pashta says that there's a, if you look in two different gemaras, the Gemara has two different explanations why Yiridosa Isrosa. So the Gemara increases that Rashi's quoting from the last Perek increases. Perek Basa Daf Chafem and Aleph increases. The Gemara there presents it that Yiridosa L'Nachalesa Isrosa, because that's the beginning of the Kiyama Mitzvah. You take down V'Harido Sa'egla L'Nachalesa, take it down, then you chop off the head, then you recite the Psukim, Yadena L'Shavcha Sadam Hazen, and the Kohanim recite the Psukim, and then they wash their hands. And they wash their hands. The whole mitzvah. So the Gemara increases, understands Yiridosa Isrosa, that's the Tchilas Kiyama Mitzvah. don't say that the Issa Hanoah comes at the Gemar Kima Mitzvah, Arifasa, the Issa Hanoah is Chal when the Tchilas Kima Mitzvah. There's a Gemar in Sanhedrin that presents a different explanation, why Yiridasa is Rasa. Gemar in Sanhedrin has a Machloikas Abai V'Rave, whether you say Hazmana Milsihi or Hazmana Lab Milsihi. Let's say somebody died, and I go and I buy Tachrichim. So the din is at a mace is Asama Hanoah, and the Tachrichim, the Misham Shehameis, are also Asama Hanoah. So Abai says, if I'm alive and I go to the store and I pick out Tachrichim, so the Tachrichim don't become Asama Hanoah. You can't say that it's Misham Shehameis. I'm not dead yet. I'm still alive. But if someone died already, and then someone from the family goes and they buy Tachrichim and they plan to be their Mazmin, Hazmana Milsihi, they designate that these Tachrichim are going to be used to bury the mace. So Abai is of the opinion, Hazmana Milsihi, when you designate it, it already has a shem of Misham Shehameis, or shem Hasid, and it already becomes Asabano. And we pass like Rava, who disagrees with Abai, Hazmana La Milsi, when you designate something to serve as Misham Shehameis, it's not yet called Tashmi Shehameis. When you wrap the mace in the Tachrichim, then it's called Misham Shehameis. Just by designating, that's not enough. The Gemara has the same shaila. Let's say I bought a pair of tefillin, and I go to the store and I buy a fancy tefillin zekel. So, but I didn't put, let's say I don't have a tefillin zekel, and I put my tefillin into a paper bag, I don't plan to use the paper bag permanently for my tefillin zekel. So that's tzarbei, I put my tefillin in v'loy azbenei. I didn't designate that this paper bag should be kavua, to be tashmishei kedusha, that I'm always going to put it. So the paper bag is mutabano. But what if I have azbenei v'loy tzarbei? What if you have fakir? I own a pair of tefillin, I go to the store and I buy a fancy tefillin zekel, and I didn't yet put the tefillin into the tefillin zekel. So Rabbi says, Hazmana la milsi, you bought a tefillin zekel, you plan to put the tefillin in, but you didn't yet put it in yet. So it's not called Tashmishi Kedusha. It only gets the shem of Tashmishi Kedusha once it's Mishamish, the tefillin, b'poyel mamish, when it's actually Mishamish. And Abai holds, no, it's already called Tashmishi Kedusha, al-shem hosid, since you designated it, that's Azmenei v'loy tzarbei. I dedicated it, I designated it as tefillin zekel, but I didn't v'loy tzarbei, I didn't really put the tefillin in yet. I didn't wrap the mace yet in the tachrich. So that's the machlokes Abai v'Rava. So the Gemara says, why doesn't Rava learn out from Egla Rufa? Egla Rufa, if you hold Yiridasa v'nachaleisa naisrasa, so don't you see that hazmona milsihi? So Rava says, that's an exception to the rule. So the Gemara there seems to have understood Yiridasa v'nachaleisa naisrasa differently. Not that the tchilas ha-mitzvah is from haridos ega el ha-nachal. Not that yiridos el ha-nachal eson is the tchilas kiyam ha-mitzvah. The kiyam ha-mitzvah makes it also ba-hanoah, and the machlokes ha-tanaim is whether haschalas kiyam ha-mitzvah or gmar kiyam ha-mitzvah. Yiridos is haschalas ha-mitzvah, and arifas is the gmar mitzvah. The gemara in Sanhedrin, in Memcheste, in the sugya of Hazmana Milsa, the gemara seems to have understood really arifas is rasa. After you chop off the head, then it's called Egla Rufa, then it's also Banor. And one Tana learns that from a Pasuk, Yiridosa Ois Rosa Al Shem Ha'asid. It's since I'm taking it down to Nachal Eisan, so that's like a Hazmana. I'm dedicating this, I'm designating this Egla, that this should become an Egla Arufa, so it's already called an Egla Rufa Al Shem Ha'asid. It's based on Hazmana Milsi.
According to Abayas, when he selected the Egla before he wrote it down, the Hazmana.
So the Gemara says, I don't know. So the Gemara says it has to be a certain degree of Hazmana. So by the Tachrichim, the person died already. There's a Meis Lefaneinu, and the Tachrichim already. All its Mechusa Meisa is to put the Tachrichim, to wrap up the Meis in the Tachrichim. Let's say you buy the Tefillin Zekel. The tefillin are ready, the zekel is bought, all you have to do is put it in. Here by the Egla Rufa, there's a lot missing. You didn't do the Arifa yet. So that's what the Gemara says. It's only called the Hazmana when you do Yerida the Nachalesan. When you buy it,
it has to be
a certain degree close to the final product, to the final result. So Abayu Shita, the Hazmana Milsi, is based on that's Bataras Hazmana. For the Arifa is what asks. But if you do, you read the Nachal Eisan, that's a hazman. So apparently, that's what the Rambam seems to hold. The Rambam paskins, you read Dosa, the Nachal Eisan, Isrosa, is al shem ha'asid. Not because this is Tchilas Kima Mitzvah. No, this is really Arifa Isrosa. But you read Dosa is a pchina of hazmana milsehi. So it's only hazmana milsehi if it ultimately gets finished. But if Nimtza Hahoreg, if the police discover who the murderer is and they're going to give him the death penalty, then we don't proceed with the rest. We don't need the kapara. The kapara will only come by giving the man the death penalty. The police caught the murderer. So we're not going to get a kapara by bringing this egg la rufa. So you stop the music in the middle, you don't continue, you don't proceed. So the Rambam understood that even though you read Dosa Yisrasa, but if Nimtza Hahoreg, then it turns out that it was betoyes, that the whole thing was a mistake. And it becomes mutabano.
So theoretically, when you're painting the egg on roof, you live with the understanding that in the event that they find the murderer, this thing is like you say, it never happened before. So why don't you set up and say tonight, I'm painting it on the understanding that if he's found, then he'd go back. So you're not, it's no husband, the person who's dead is dead. You use the entire thing from anyway. But here, the protocol is, if he's found, the murderer is found. You're not going to use it anyway.
Well, the Mishnah continues, just a minute, Mishnah continues, Mishnah Erfo Hegla, what if they already did the Arifa Segla Rufa, and then Nimtza HaHoreg? So then it's already Fafan. Tikover Bim Kaimo. Then it is Asabano. That's what you do if you have a normal Egla Rufa. It says, V'of Husham, it's a Egla Banachal. So the Gemara says, there's another passage that says, V'atoma Shamirim V'atikover Shom. It says that when Miriam died, so they buried her where she died. So the word Shom appears by Kvura of a mace, and the word Shom appears, so the Gemara understands Shom between mace and Egla Rufa, that the Egla Rufa should be buried in the spot where you did the Arifa. So that's what the Mishnah says. If Nimtza HaHorig Mishanerfo Egla, they already did the Arifa, so Egla. And then the police discover the murderer, then it's already Lacha Maisa Tikove Bim Kaimo. You bury the Egla Rufa where it is, because it exerts Shom between why? Aye, but it's a Gloy Milsel and Mafreya that you didn't need the whole Egla Rufa. There isn't going to be a Kapara. It's not going to be Kapara Amchis. The Kapara will only be accomplished when they give the death penalty, when they punish their murderer. So the Mishnah says, doesn't matter. Shal Safik Basa Metchilosa, Kipesveka Veholchala. That's the halacha. Whenever you have a Chiev to do some mitzvah, here, Egla Rufa, Lo Noda Mihiko. So at the time that you did the Arifa, it was Lo Noda Mihiko. Even though later on, a minute later, you discover who the murderer was, you already did the mitzvah. B'shas, when you did the mitzvah, you were absolutely mechiv to do it. So it becomes Asabano. You don't say, the whole bringing up the Egla Rufa is Allah Tanai. The Rambam only holds like that, when you get, if Nimtza HaHoreg before the Arifa, because really the Arifa should ask, and you read Dosa Yisras, is Epsi B'toris HaHachonet, that's Hazmana Milsi. Nimtza HaHoreg, so the whole Hazmana was betos. But the Arifa, you don't say the Arifa was betos. Mishnah in Krisis has such a similar din by Oshem Toloi. Oshem Toloi is a din. If a person violates an Avera B'Shoigeg, if he would have violated the Avera B'Mezid, he would have been Chayiv Koris. He eat Chometz B'Pesach, he eat on Yom Kippur, a person does Malach on Shabbos, a person eats Chela B'Dam. All list of 36 creases on Muras Batur. So if a person does an Avera B'Shoigig, that if he would have violated the Avera B'Mezid, he would have been Chayiv Koris. So if he violates that Avera B'Shoigig, he's obligated to bring a Korban Chatos. So that's if he knows, Ahodelov Chatos or Shechot Oleh. If he realizes, he has a Yediyah Sachet, he realizes that he was Mechal Shabbos, he realizes that he ate Chalev. What if he ate in a restaurant? He always thought it was a kosher restaurant. And then after he finishes eating the fleshig meal, they tell him, "Oy Gaval, we made a mistake. We served somebody chela b'dam. We're not sure who." So he doesn't know if he ate chela b'dam. He's not sure. So, or let's say he did a malacha on Shabbos, bein hashmashes. He didn't realize it. His watch stopped or his watch was ahead, whatever. He did a malacha bein hashmashes as sofik Shabbos, sofik chol. So he's not sure if he was mechal Shabbos. So if he would have known the vaday he was mechal Shabbos b'shoigeg, he would have brought a korban chatos. Now that he doesn't know, so the Torah requires that he should bring an Oshem Toloi. So what happens if he brings his Magdish to Oshem Toloi, and then he finds out Bevados that he did eat Chalev, or he finds out Bevados he did not eat Chalev. So then you're not Makriv to Oshem Toloi. You're not makriv it. It's kodesh, but you wait till it gets a moment, then you pot it. He was, at the time that he was magdish it, he was mechuyev to be magdish it. So the hekdesh was chal. But if he discovers prior to the hakrova, before the shechita, he discovers either one way or the other, he ascertains either the ivada did eat chalev, ivada did not eat chalev. So you don't proceed to do the hakrova. It's only if it's if he's in doubt. But what happens if he already they shechted and they resurrected the dam of Dashim Tali, finished, and then afterwards they ascertain that Hivadai did the Aver, Hivadai did not do the Aver. So if they ascertain that Hivadai did the Aver, Dashim Tali Nishginuk, he has to bring a Karban Chatos. So are the Kohanim permitted to eat the Yashim Tali? The Kohanim usually eat the Chatos and the Yashim. It's a Kachi Kachim. So the Mishnah says, yeah, Kippur Sveikah V'Hocholot, the same expression over here. At the time that he was makrifit, at the time that they did the Shechita and the Hakrovah, everything was kedin. I later on we discovered that it was all a mistake, that he really has to bring a chato, so the whole thing was a mistake. He didn't eat the chelev adam. He didn't have to bring anything. But b'shas when they were makrivit, that was kedin. Whenever you're mesupik in mechuyev, here also. Whenever you're mesupik, lo no da mihiko, so the din is you have to bring an egg larufa. So if you did the arifa, you did the whole mitzvah, and afterwards you ascertain who the murderer is, the egg larufa will still remain. Also b'ano, kippur sveik v'hochala, b'shas when they did the Arifa Sa'egla, they did it kiddin. Then the Mishnah has a din. Nerfo ho'egla, they already did the Arifa Sa'egla. V'achakach nimtza ha'horeg. Does he get the death penalty or not? It says, v'nikap lahem hadam. After you do the Arifa Sa'egla Arufa, the Kohanim offer the prayer, the pasuk, kap lahem cheso shepedis Hashem. Then the Roch HaKadosh mevas rasan. The Ruach HaKodesh promises, "Veni kapel lohem hadom," they will be forgiven. So forgiven. So if the police discover who the murderer is, after they already did the arifa segla rufa, maybe. So that's what the Mishnah says. If nimtza ha'horeg, nimtza. How does it say? Nerfu ho'egla v'chakach nimtza ha'horeg. He still gets the death penalty. The people in the city, they're forgiven. But the murderer is not forgiven. So the Gemara is going to prove from Psukim that this is so. Then the Mishnah continues. The rest of the Mishnah is going to be a very tricky din. The Pasuk says in Chumash, you only bring an Egel Arufef, lo no da mihiko. Nobody knows who the murderer is. What do you mean nobody knows? So if you have two eyewitnesses who testify, we saw the murderer, and we warned him, don't do the Averu, we're going to give you Misa. Okay, so that's called Noda Mihiko. What if you have two witnesses, they say, we know who the murderer is, but we didn't give any Hasra. So we won't be able to give him the death penalty. Still, if two people can ascertain, they can testify who the murderer is, Noda Mihiko, so there's no Din of Egla Ruf. What if you only have Eid Echod? Eid Echod says, I saw the murderer. Reisi Ahori. I saw the murderer. He can identify who he is. So Eid Echod is not really Neman to say, indeed in the Pashas, Eid Echod is not Neman. Nonetheless, the Mishnah assumes that Eid Echod Amar Yisrael Sahoreg, if Eid Echod says, I saw the murderer, so the din is that there's no din of Egla Rufa. That's the premise. The Shad is, where did you get that din from? How is that called? Noda Mihiko? Eid Echod is not Neman by din in the Pashas. That should be called Lo Noda. That's insufficient evidence. So the Mishnah assumes that's such a double Pashut. Mishnah tells you a chiddush, the next step. There are two witnesses who contradict each other. One says, Reisi Ahorig. If that's all you would have is the Erechad that says, Reisi Ahorig, then based on the Chumash it says, Lo Noda Mihiko. So the Chazal understood, most of the Tanaim understood the Pasig means, if Erechad says, Reisi Ahorig, then there's no Egla Rufa. But here's a complicated case already. One says, Reisi, one says, Lo Reisa. Then it says, yes, how you are from. Then you do, and you do bring the Egla Rufa. That's going to be a big discussion in the Gemara.
What do you mean, Lo Reisa? You said
that from Idis. He didn't see it. You're telling a lie. He says, when did he see? I saw 9 o'clock in the morning, I saw the way Reuven killed Shimon. 9 o'clock in the morning, you were in Shul davening by the Lake Minyan. You couldn't have seen Reuven kill Shimon. I was with you the whole time, 9 o'clock. There was nobody killing anybody. We were watching television together, whatever. He says, Larry, he said, it's not true.
You need two.
Oh, So for din in the fashas, you need two kosher edim. You need two. So here the Mishnah says, even eid echot, says Reis Yahareg, is also, you don't bring an egla rufa. What if, eid echot, by din in the fashas, you're halfway there. What if the eid echot is an isha, or an eved? An isha and eved, even have two of them. It's not sufficient to give din in the fashas. So maybe it's only called Reis Yahareg, is called no dami hikohu, if it's eid echot kosher. So it's called Noda Mihiko. You have a little bit of Chotzi Shir of Yediyah. To the extent of it, Eidechod, you have it Emonis. What if it's an Isha and Evik Nani says, Reis Yahar? So the Mishnah says also the same din. There's the next line. Isha Meris Reisi. So there's no Egla Rufa. The Mishnah knows that. Then the Mishnah says a complicated case. Isha Meris Reisi. Isha Meris Loi Reisa. Another woman says it's not true. Loi Reisa. So then it's a question what the din is. So then the way it says in our Mishnah, it says, how are you orphan? The Gemara is going to discuss. So let's see the Gemara. Let's see, the Gemara is going to discuss. There's too much in the Mishnah to cover at one time. The Gemara is going to go step by step. On the top of Amud Beis, so the Gemara quotes the Braisa Tana Rabbanan. Minayin, how do we know from the Chumash the following din? Shimner for her eglo, we did the whole Arifas eglo, Rufa v'chakach nimtza ha-horeg. The police discovered the murderer after they did the whole Arifas Eglo. What's the din? Maybe I should say, it's a kapor for everybody, including the murderer. Maybe you don't give him the death penalty. So that's a joke. Minayin, how do you know the din? Ain't a pateras also? Just because he brought an Eglo Arufa and you get a kapora, that's a kapora for the balabatim, but it's for the rest of the community. But it's not a kapora for the murderer. How do you know? Talmalayma, the pasuk says there, the kapara is only when the man gets the death penalty. If we discover who the murderer is, egla rufa is not mechap. Okay, so that din is the Mishnah got it from that pasuk. Now the Gemara says the Mishnah is talking about fancy, complicated cases. One man says reis yaharig, one man contradicts him. One woman says reis yaharig, the other woman contradicts. But the premise of the Mishnah, before you get involved in the complications, premise is if an Eidecha comes and says, Reis Yahoreg, so there's no Egla Rufa. Effectively, what? Where did you get that from? How is that called? No Dami Hiko. Eidecha is not believed indeed in the Fashas. Eidecha should be considered Lo No Dami Hiko. So that's what the Gemara asks. Time of the Makrishle, the only reason why there's what to discuss. That you do bring an Egla Rufa because it's Eidecha Keneged Eidecha. Each one is contradicting the other. Holoi makrishle. If there wouldn't be an Eidechot contradicting the first one, Eidechot meheman. Eidechot who says Reis Yahoreg is believed, and there's no din of Egla Rufa, because the Pasuk says you're only being Egla Rufa, lo no damihiko, you don't know. And Eidechot says, I know who the murderer is, he's Nemon. Nayamaisa, how can it be Eidechot is Nemon? It's a dovish, it's a din of the Farshas. Din of the Farshas, you need to wait. How did the Tanoim establish this halacha that if an Echad says, or Isi Ahoreg, he has nemonis to the extent that you don't bring an Egla Rufo? So, the Tanoim Rabbanim, we have a Braise, Machlekes HaTanoim. The Braise says, this is in the Sifrei, on that Pasuk, in the end of Parsha Shoiftim. Lo Noda Mihikohu, the condition of Chi of Egla Rufo is only provided, nobody knows, nobody can identify the murderer. If you know who the murderer is, I feel echad b'sof ha'olam, even though it's only eid echad. Only eid echad, you don't have to aid him. That's the din lo ha'yu orfim. That's the majority opinion. Then the Braisa quotes Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is not accepted over here. We pask like the chachamim, that if anybody says reis yahoreg, any eid echad says reis yahoreg, there's no din of egla rufa. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's only in a rare case. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva, Oimer, Minayin, listen, Hedrin, Shiro, Echad, Shohargas, HaNefesh. How do you know? The din is that the Bezdin, after they do the procedure of the Egla Rufa, have to say, Deino l'shavchas adam hazeh v'einenu lo ra'u. What do you mean, v'einenu lo ra'u? We didn't witness the murder. We are not, Deino l'shavchas, we're not responsible for the murder. So Rabbi Akiva says, that's all you know from the Pasuk. How do you know Minayin? How do you know the following din? Sanhedrin Shiro Echad Shargas HaNefesh. They were watching, some of the members of the Sanhedrin know who the murderer was. We had the Shev Shmaitzer said there's a Machloikas Rashi in the Rambam. The Mishnah says, you only bring an Egla Rufa, an Ir Sheyesh Bo Bezdin. You don't measure to a city. So the Shev Shmaitzer said there's a machlekes Rashi and Ram. How much of a bezin do you need? A bezin of 3 or a bezin of 23? A bezin of 23 is needed for din and nefashis. So here the Gemara talks about Sanhedrin. Sounds like you need a bezin of 23 to do the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. That's the posh pshat in the word Sanhedrin. You don't call a bezin of 3 a Sanhedrin.
So the at the same time.
I don't know if you need all. I don't know if you need all 23. If one of the Zakenims was watching the murder, so then there's no din. If he's a member of the bezin, if one, I think so. If one member of the bezin saw the murder, so they he's not able to say beinenu l'ra'u. So the whole mitzvah of Egla Rufa doesn't apply. So it sounds like Rabbi Kiva is in disagreement with the Tanakam. Tanakam says. Any Eid Echad says Reisya Horigan. Rabbi Kiva says, no, only if it's one of the members of the Bezin. Shiro Echad, Sharagas Anef, Shem Akir Moso, Shalo Hayu Ofrim. There's no din of Egla. Rufa Tamalam, Venenu La Rova. Hello, Rova. Over here they did see. Shine. Okay. So we assume, like the Tanakhama, that there is a din, any Eid Echad, not only if the members of the Bezin saw. Any Eid Echad says Reisya Horig. So there's no din of Egla Rufa. But what happens if one Eid Echad says, Reis Yehorig, and one Eid Echad contradicts him, he says, Loira Isa. So the way it says in our Mishnah, it says, Ho you Orphim. Why is Ho you Orphim? They neutralize each other. One says, Reis Yehorig, one says, you're lying, Loira Isa Horig. So they cancel each other out. What if you have Trey or Trey? Two witnesses say, he borrowed $1,000, two witnesses say, you're lying, he didn't borrow money. To witness to say horak, to witness to say lo horak. It's not true. He didn't kill. If you have a kosher, right. If you have two against two, so they cancel each other out. They neutral each other. They neutralize each other out. Freg the Gemara kasher, but it shouldn't apply over here. If you have trey or trey, two witnesses contradict two other witnesses, so they have namonis and they have namonis, they cancel each other out. Here you're talking in Eid Echad. Eid Echad said, Reis Yahorek. That's Adim Zemimim. He would take. He would no. He's not Adim Zemimim. No. He says Lo Raisa. You're telling a lie. We were there with you, and it never happened. It's not true. Lo Raisa Hore. You were with me. So it's not true. So the Gemara is bothered with Akashim. Hashta the Amrit. Now that you established based on a pasuk, Eid Echad Mehaman. Eid Echad is believed to say. So how can you tell me that the Eid Echad comes later to say Loi Reis Ahoreg? Idochad, the second Eid Echad comes to contradict him. Hechim Otzi Makrishle. How does he have namonis to contradict the first one and they neutralize each other out? If you have two against two, so two on namonim and two on namonim, so two against two, there's trey. So you don't know what to do. But if it's Chad Legabichad, whoever comes first should be believed. Whoever comes second should not be believed. What's that? There's a difference between chad legabi chad and trey or trey. So he says, because that's Ula's klal. Freg di gemar, v'ha'omar Ula, but Ula developed a klal, kol mokum she'min ha'torah ed echod, whenever the Torah says, ed echod has namonas, harei kan shnayim, we consider him as if he would have been two edim. The highest level of bira is if you have two edim. Ed echod in mamonas is only good for shvuah. Two Edom and Mominus, is it? That's tough, so you win the case. Eid Echad by Din and Nefoshes is not Bagloid. Shnei Edom is believed, right? So if you have Eid Echad, the Torah says Eid Echad is believed to say, Reisi Ahoreg. So you don't bring the Egla Rufa. So the first one who came and he said, Reisi Ahoreg, is Harek and Shnaim. The Torah says he has Namonis. You believe him and you don't bring Egla Rufa. So the other Eid Echad comes later and he contradicts him and he says, Loi Reisi Ahoreg. Is Ein Dvar B'Shalechet B'Makam Shnayim? We should consider it like 2-1. The first one who came first, and he said, Reis Yehorig, he should be Naman Kishnayim. That's Ula's klal. This is Shaila. What kind of a klal is that? It doesn't make any sense. Whoever comes first wins. V'Makam Shemin Eter Edech Reikan Shnayim. So in Yerideya, in the end of Simon Aleph in Yerideya, they quote that there's a fundamental machlokes harishayim in what this klal is all about. So the Shach and the Taz like very much the Shitas HaRitva, that this klal only makes sense in three cases. And that's the only three cases that it appears in the Gemara. Here you look on the margin, it says it's in Yevamos Daf Peches, and it's in Le'el Daf Lamed Aleph, and here. The only three places in all of Shas where the Gemara uses Ulus Klal is a case where, here it's a case really Din and Nefashis. You should really need two witnesses to say, Reis Ha'arik, Lo Reis Ha'arik. Din and Nefashis, you really need Lo Yumas Al Pi Eid Echad. Al Pi Shnayim Eidim, Al Pi Shlosh Eidim, Yumas Ha'meis, Lo Yumas Al Pi Eid Echad. You should really need two Eidim. So the Torah is Mechadish, Akzeres HaKosuv, Lo Noda Mihiko, even if there's only Echad B'Soy Fodam Eid Echad, it says, Reis Ha'arik, so the Torah is Mechadish, Eid Echad is Bagloid. But to say Lo Ra'isa, there you have no Pasuk to say that he's believed. So that's a regular shayla of din and nefashis. Eid Echad is not believed. The Torah only is mechadish that the one who says, it's not whoever comes first wins. If an Eid Echad comes and says that this is chazer, and then 2 weeks later an Eid Echad comes and says it's not chazer, it's kosher flesh, I shechted it. So you wouldn't say, kol makom shemini, otar Eid Echad, reikan shnayim, whoever came first is believed, whoever comes second is not believed. Eid Echad is nam abisum. He's an Eid Echad, and I'm an Eid Echad. Just because he came first, he doesn't win. The only time you say this is in the three cases. The one case is over here by Reisi Ahoreg. It's really a case of Din and Nefashis. So Eid Echad should not be believed. So it's a chiddush that the Torah gave Amina Torah Eid Echad to say Reisi Ahoreg. To say Loi Reisi.
He's not believed that we're going to kill him.
Not believed to say we're going to
kill him. He's just believed that it's no Da'at
Dover. Okay. But he shouldn't have even... been believed to say Reisi Ahoreg. Because also it should be labeled as Din and Nefashis. Right. So you have a Gzeres HaKosov that that's an exception to the rule. It's an exception to the rule is only in this direction, to say Ra'isi Ahorik. To say Loi Ra'isa, you don't have any pasuk to say that he has Namanis. So what do you do if you have two Edom and contradict each other? One of them has Namanis, one of them doesn't have Namanis. So what's the shot? The one who has Namanis is Neman, one who doesn't have Namanis is Zainan Neman. So that's what you have here. The Eid Echad says Ra'isi Ahorik. You have a pasuk that says that he is believed. Harekan Shaim is a melitza. It just means he's believed. One who says, Lo Ra'isa, you have no pasuk to say that he should be believed. Bleib Taran Eid Echad by Dovashiv, by Din and Nefashis, so he's not believed. The other case the Gemara has is by Meis Baila, in Yevam is Daf Peches. The husband is missing. We don't know if he's alive or dead. He's been missing for the last 2 years. Then Eid Echad comes and he says, Meis Baila, I know your husband is dead. So strictly speaking, Eid Echad should not be believed to say Meis Baila, because a Dovashiv Yerva, to say that a woman is an Eshes Ish, or to say a woman is Nishkan Eshes Ish, that should really be labeled as a Dovish of Yerva, and Dovish of Yerva needs Shnei Eidim. But there's a special exception to the rule, Minatorim, Midirabonim, whatever, and Eid Echad comes and says, Meis Baila, I know the husband is dead, he has Nemanis, he is believed. To say, Loi Meis Baila, that's a regular Dovish of Yerva, Eid Echad is not believed. So if the first one, it's not because he came first, if the one Eid Echad came and he said, Meis Baila, he has Nemanis. The one who says Loi Meis Baila does not have Nemanis. So of course, one who says Meis Baila Komo Kan Shamid Torah Edecha Reikan Shnayim. What do you mean Reikan Shnayim? One does become two. One is one. No, but it means he has Nemanis. One who says Loi Meis Baila has no Nemanis. So of course, if it's Chad L'Gabi Chad, one has Nemanis, one doesn't have Nemanis, and one has Nemanis, it's Bagloik. And the third exception to the rule is also a Dovish B'Yerva issue. That's earlier, that's on Daf, where is it? Lamed Aleph from a base. The third case is by a Saito. The husband is suspicious that his wife is having an affair with someone else. So he warns his wife, Altistri Amish Pliny. I think that you're having an affair with Pliny. I forbid you from being miyachid with him. She shouldn't do stir. Stir means yichud. Then she goes and she violates the instructions of the husband. Even if she's not in violation of yichud. There's a din of yichud. That's what the Gemara says in the Kiddushin, the end of Kiddushin. If the husband is around in the city, there's no isa yichud. But if the husband wants his wife Altistri and Mish Pliny, he's in the office, so it doesn't help that there's no Issa Yichud. There's still a din of stira. Yichud and stira are not necessarily the same. It's called stira, even though there's no violation of Yichud. Let's say the husband is Chayshid, she's having an affair with her father, with her brother. There's no Issa Yichud with your own father, with your own brother. But if the husband is Chayshid, she's being Mizana with the father and brother, so then it's called stira. It's not an Issa Yichud, but it's still called stira. So if you have kinu ustira, kinu means he was masra, his wife. He wants her altistri mishplaini. And then you have stira. You have two witnesses who come to Yerushalayim, and they say, we were present when the husband won his wife altistri mishplaini. Then you have two Edom come and say, we were watching when the wife had stira. She was misyachedes with the Pliny. So she has to drink the Maim Amarim, and the Torah promises the miracle, that if she's guilty of Lysinov, she's going to die in Misa Mishunah, and if she's innocent, nothing will happen. That's the only time that the Torah promises a miracle is with the Parsha of Soito. So the Mishnah says, the Eid Ein Bo, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk by Parshas Nasa, by Soito, the Eid Ein Bo, there isn't even Eid Echad. If there would be an Eid Echad who would say she was Zinsa, the Eid Echad is not believed to give her the death penalty for Eishes Isha Zinsa, but the Eid Echad is believed to the extent that she's not allowed to drink the Maim Amarim. Just like over here, Eid Echad says, Reisi Ahorek, he's not believed to the extent that you're going to give the death penalty to the murderer, but he is believed to the extent that you don't proceed with the Egla Rufa. So they're also in such a din. So really, Eid Echad says, Zinsa should not be believed, because it's a Dovah Shebierva, a Dovah Shebierva Pachas Mishnayim. They say that a Neshes Ish is Zinsa, a Neshes Ish was a Mezanah, she has to get divorced, that's labeled as Dovah Shebierva. So neither Eid Echad should be believed, not the one who says yes Zinsa, not the one who says lo Zinsa. So the Mishnah says, what if two Eid Echads come? One Eid Echad says Zinsa after Kinu Yastira. One Eid Echad says Zinsa in that Yichud that the Eidim are testifying about, I was hiding in the room in the closet, then I saw that she was Zinsa. The other Eid Echad says, you're telling a lie. It's not true. I was in the room also. Nothing happened. She was lo Zinsa. So the Gemara says, you should say, Kalmokim Shemini Atochad Harei Kan Shnayim. The one who says Zinsa is believed. That's Exeris HaKa. The one who says Loi Zinsa, it's a Dovah Shebierva. He's not believed to say Loi Zinsa. So if you have Chad Legabi Chad, and one of them has Namanis, one of them doesn't, so the one who has Namanis wins. So that's the Gemara's Kasha on our Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah say, Eid Echad says Reis Yehorig. Eid Echad says Loi Reisa. So the Mishnah says they neutralize each other out. They cancel each other out, and you remain, you bring an Egla Rufa. Trickling more. Why? The Torah believes the Eid Echad says Reis Yehorig. Torah doesn't give special namanis the one who says Loi Reis Yehorig. So I should believe him, I should not believe him. So the din should be, you should not bring the Egla Rufa. So the first few Amoraim say, it's a misprint in the Mishnah. It should say in the Mishnah, Lo Hoyu Orphim. And our Mishnah says Hoyu Orphim. And the first Amoraim say, it's a misprint. It's supposed to say Lo Hoyu Orphim. Because the one who says Reis Yehorig has namanas, the one who says Le Reisa, does not have namanas. Amalach Ula, Ula is the one who developed this klal. The one is Baglep, the other one is not Baglep. So Ula says, Tani, you should correct the text in the Mishnah. Davstein loho yorf. Achein Amar Yitzchak, Tani, correct the gears in the Mishnah, loho yorf. Then the Gemara says, but Rabchia holds not so. Rabchia, oh, no, the correct gears in the Mishnah the way we have it. Ho yorf. I, Frag the Gemara, Rabchia Kasha Dula, but Ula gave a good svara. He says, the one who says, Reis Yehoreg is a pasuk, he has namanas. The one who says, La Reis Yehoreg, there's no pasuk, you shouldn't have any namanas. So the Gemara is going to give an answer, it depends about bo b'vasachas or bo b'zachazet. This is all discussed in Yeridea. Okay, but Lineta we'll have to discuss it next time. Next week I won't be able to give the shir. The yeshiva made an agreement. There is a new yeshiva in Berlin the last few years. So the yeshiva sent one of the rabbeim this week to give shurim in the yeshiva there in Berlin. They have a yeshiva with a kollel, with a seminary for girls, with an elementary school, with the whole kehillah, everything. And they asked me to go next week. So I'm going to go next Sunday. I'm going to Berlin, and I'll be there for a week, and I'll come back the Sunday afternoon after. So I won't be able to give shiur next Tuesday night. But the week after, the Tuesday night after next week, we'll continue in this Gemara. We'll continue learning about the Kalmokim Shemina Torah, Harei Kan Shnai. In the end of Parsha Shlach, the Torah has the mitzvah of tzitzis. Rashi quotes from the Medrash of Rav Moshe Hadarshan, a whole interpretation, that the tcheles is miloshen tichlo, death to the Mitzrim. What's that? Is that Makas Becheres took place at Chatzos, and the color of the tcheles is supposed to be the color of the sky at midnight. That's how Rashi says. The Rambam does not agree with Rashi. The Rambam says the color of the tcheles, the Gemara says the color of the tcheles is dama l'rakia, supposed to be the color of the sky. Tell the sky what time of the day. In the afternoon when it's light blue, or at midnight when it's dark blue. It's practically black outside. So that's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. So Rashi says the color of the sky at midnight, and the Rambam says color of the sky in the afternoon. So Rashi quotes from Ramosh Adarshan, why the color of the sky at midnight? To remind us of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that's happening, that he caused Makas Bechoris to occur. So it's interesting, I met years ago, I met somebody. He asked me a very strange question. So I asked him, why he asked him the question? He tells me he works for the federal government. He's a chemist for the federal government. His job is to test all of the dyes that they have in clothing to see if it's poisonous or not. Because sometimes little children or adults will start chewing the sweater. So if the dye is poisonous, it's a sakana. So the federal government does not allow companies to dye clothing with anything that's poisonous. So as a hobby, whenever he has a chance, he tests whatever, even if he's not required. So he tried out the new trelis, and he found that it's poisonous. So he asks me, are there any sources in the Talmud that the trelis is supposed to be poisonous? So I told him the only thing that is anywhere near it is this Rashi. Rashi says that trelis is miloshen tichla, death to the Mitzrim, that is supposed to be reminding us of the Makas Pcheres that occurred at midnight. It's interesting. The Gemara says that the trelis is supposed to be the color of the sky. So the Rambam says the color of the sky in the daytime. Not the color of the sky at night time. Light blue. So the Gemara in the last Perek in Brachas has a list of all kinds of different Brachas that you recite on different occasions. So some of those Brachas we never recite. So one of the Brachas, the Gemara gives a reason why we don't recite. Gemara says when you have a beautiful, clear blue sky, so there's a special Bracha to be recited. How come we never heard anybody say the Bracha? So the Gemara says, but we don't say Bizmanazah because Miyom Shechara Beis Hamikdash, the sky is not the same. Nothing is the same. The whole world is Arunta Gegangen, everything is has a Yeridus Adiris. Miyam Shechar Beis Hamikdash, the sky is not as beautiful as it ever was before. So that's what they quote in the name of the Arizal, the Kisvei Arizal, they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such a tragedy to occur that we lost the Trelas for so many centuries. We lost the Trelas, we don't know what it is. So they quote from the Arizal, Siddhita Zagreis Aveda, we didn't lose so much. Because the ikir accomplishment of Tchelis is only Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdash HaYikai. Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdash Kayam is not so important. Why not? Where is HaGemara? Where? The Tanoim, all the Amoraim, they all lived Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdash HaYikai. They all were makben on Tchelis. Tchelis got lost in the Tkufas HaGainim. Why does he say such a thing? A very strange statement. He didn't say a halacha that Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdash Kayam, the mitzvah is not knowing. He's just explaining historically. Philosophically, Sinita Zagreisa Veda is not such a terrible tragedy because the Iker accomplishment is only Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdash Kayam. Where did he get that from? So that's what they quote from the Satmar Rebbe, the previous Satmar Rebbe, that the Tchel is supposed to be the color of the Rakia, and the Gemara in Bracha says we no longer say that Bracha about the clear blue sky because the sky is not the same color that it's supposed to be. So that's what he said, that since the Tchel is supposed to be the color of the Rakia, and the rakia is not the right color after the Churban Abay. So the whole mitzvah of Tchelis doesn't apply. It's not that the mitzvah only applies like Hakrovus Karbonus is only Bizman HaMikdash. No. It's not a mitzvah Hatluya Bebeis HaMikdash. The sky is not the right color. So that's why the mitzvah doesn't apply. It's a strange explanation.
Yeah, that's why.
All the pollution.